encourage you somewhat in the Lord. If you'll turn in your Bibles again today to the Song of Solomon. And when I preached for Brother Brown a few weeks ago, every day he'd come to pick me up to go carry me to lunch. And we'd be traveling or eating, and he'd look over at me and say, are we singing tonight? What he was saying is, are we going to be in the song tonight? In the Song of Solomon, are we singing tonight? Are we in the Canticles? Some of the old-timers called it. And so if you will turn there to Solomon's Song, chapter number 4, and let's again this morning begin reading in verse number 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love, behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof everyone bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like a tower of David builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon, from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes and with one chain of thy neck. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful this morning for the singing that we've enjoyed. Thank you, Lord, for the good worship that I've enjoyed in my heart today and for the fellowship with God's people. Lord, I thank you for thy word that you've given. Lord, for its truth. So many times it cuts our heart, but yet, Lord, it's always right and good. And I bless your name for it. There's other times, Lord, that it pours in the healing balm of Gilead and does such a wonderful work to heal up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to mend those that are full of sorrow and grief and heartache. And I pray that you would bless us further in this service today. Lord, by helping me preach just a little bit, if you would, I pray you'll help my body, strengthen it, my voice. And Father, that you'll fill my spirit with wisdom this morning and with the Holy Ghost. Help me, I pray, to preach with unction and liberty to thy people. Lord, may our hearts today be turned to God. Lord, my cries, will thou not revive me again, O God, that I might rejoice in thee? Thank you, Lord, for loving me when I was so sinful and unlovely and ungodly. I bless your wonderful, holy name in for all that you've done. Bless now and save sinners. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We're looking at verse number 9 this morning for our thought for the day. I want to preach, if I may, for a little while this morning on the thought, sympathizing Jesus. I'm so thankful this morning that Jesus is a great sympathizer. And may I say before we get too far into the thought that we're entering in this verse into some of the most sacred ground in all the Canticles. Probably, without a doubt, some of the most holy ground in all the Bible. For he says there, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. And I'm not going to preach on that, but the term sister there is a very intimate thought and relationship that our Lord gives to the church, to those that have been saved by the grace of God. And not only is it very intimate, but you've got to realize and understand that the great Creator, the God of heaven, wrote these words. And here, being the God of all the universe, church, He condescends to the position of calling you and I His spouse and His sister. That is, He sets us on level ground or even ground with Himself. I tell you, that's great condescending love. When the Lord of all glory will look upon you and I, His creatures, and may I say fallen creatures and sinful creatures, and call us His sister. What a wonderful thought that is. And I'll tell you, that sacred ground, my friend, it is high and holy ground that we're on this morning. And let us enter that ground with a holy heart and reverence to the Word of God. But He says there about His sister and His spouse, He says that you have ravished my heart with just a simple glance from one of your eyes, and with one little chain hanging about your neck. He said, you have taken my heart. I am so in love with you, Jesus says, that my heart has become completely overwhelmed. So many times we read that verse and quote it and preach from it. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, then lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, from one glance of His beloved bride, the Bible said that the Lord's heart was ravished. It was overtaken. It was consumed. He had become overwhelmed with what He saw within that one eye that she had looked upon Him with. Amen. Oh, may I say there, my friend, that there's only one word that will express that kind of love, and that's sympathy. I'm so glad today that we have a sympathizer at the right hand of God. Amen. I'm grateful, church, and thankful to know that our Lord, my friend, is acquainted with every heartache that you and I have. Every sorrow that we possess. Every bad day that we walk through. We have got one at the right hand of God that is well acquainted with us. He's well acquainted with our steps. In fact, if we're saved by the grace of God, the Bible said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And God knew yesterday what you'd be doing today, knew the sorrow of your heart and what you would be experiencing. And I'm glad that all it takes is a glance from one of our eyes, my friend, and the Lord's heart is broken and He is ravished, my friend. His heart is overwhelmed and taken with just one glimpse or one glance from the eye of a child of God. Oh, I'm glad today that we have got a sympathizer at the right hand of Almighty God. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, our Lord does not have a heart of stone, friend. The Bible said that He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He can be. May not always be, but He can be. I think a whole lot of it depends upon you and I. Amen. He said, thou hast ravaged me, my heart, my sister, my spouse, with a look from one of your eyes. I'm here to tell you, friend, had there been no look, there had been no sympathy. Amen. Have you looked at the Savior today? Amen. Have you cast your eyes upon Him, my friend, and allowed Him to see the need in your eye for deliverance? Have you looked into His eye and allowed Him to see, my friend, the need and the despondency that you have within your own heart and within your own life? Amen. Oh, may God, I'm going to tell you, no look, no live. Amen. And they were in the wilderness wanderings, and the serpent had bitten them. The Bible, and Moses made that brazen serpent and placed it upon that staff. Everybody that looked lived. I want to ask you something today. Have you looked to Him? Oh, without a look, my friend, there will be no life without a look. There will be no love from Him without a look. There will be no sympathy from Him. And by the way, if you're going to look at Him, you got to get your eyes up off of the ground and look upward. My friend, He's not an earthly creature. He's a heavenly being, sits on the right hand of God the Father, and He's there today in heavenly places. And if you want to get a glimpse of glory, you're going to have to get your eyes over this sin cursed world and set them on heaven where Christ sits and reigns from the right hand of Almighty God. May God help us today. Sympathize in Jesus. Nobody, Brother Jerry, ever cared for me like Jesus. When Mama didn't care, He did. When Daddy didn't care, He did. Amen. When nobody else cared, Jesus cared. And I want to share some of these words that He spoke in this verse. They're not just some words that are rashly spoken or some words that He just says off the cuff. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. They're words that have been meditated upon and given great thought to. They're not just words of wrath that came out in a rash manner all of a sudden that fell off. And honey under it, and their words of great thought. He knew exactly what He was saying, my friend, when He said that thou, I have been ravished, my heart has been ravished by one glance of your eye. He knew exactly what He was saying. No, sir, those words didn't drop from His lips unaware, but they proceeded from His heart and were spoken by Him in a deliberate manner. And you get this in your belt today. He spoke it twice. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart. He did. Most of the time when we say something twice, we say it to correct ourselves. But He was not correcting Himself. He was just confirming what He had already said. Aren't you glad the Lord said that I love you, my friend, and I'll confirm it with an oath and repeat it the second time if necessary and let you know that I am in love with you for what you really are, and there is sympathy with me if you'll come. Hallelujah. You know love's how powerful love is. That's why these marriages, my friend, that fall apart, they're not based on love. It's lust. I'm here to tell you that love is powerful. Love has great influence upon man's heart. I tell you, you take that little woman friend to flutter them eyeballs at you. If you're really in love with her, I'm going to tell you what you'll do. You'll do the same thing, my friend, that Ahasuerus done. He said, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. All you got to do is ask for it. I'll give you half of my kingdom. I wonder if those would not be the words of the Lord Jesus this morning. If we had just look into His darling, smiling face and find the sympathy that God really wants to meet out to you and I believe that He would be so overwhelmed in His heart and so in love with us that He likewise would say, up to the half of my kingdom I'll give you. All you got to do is ask me, for thou art my bride and we're in this thing half and half. My friend, if what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine, I'm glad I can say this morning, thank God, He's a God in glory this morning that married me, my friend, and everything that belongs to Him is rightly mine because I'm a joint heir with the Son of the living God. You ever thought anything about that at all? That's His is yours. And all that's yours is His, friend. That's a far cry different from folks today, is it not? Love is so powerful that just a glance from one eye out of that little bride. And He said, that one look ravished my heart. Just one little chain around your neck overwhelmed me with love. Now I'm going somewhere. You hang with me. With only a glance from the eyes, the heart of our heavenly bridegroom had been ravished. he had become disheartened. His heart had melted away. That's literally what that means, that I have become disheartened. There is no more heart in me. I'm not saying this. I'm going to tell you what one of the writers says. He said, "Here is my heart. I give it to thee. Command me as thou will." Oh, somebody said, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, we don't give commandments to God, but I do believe, my friend, that he said, "Try me and prove me. And see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you're not able to contain." I'll tell you, the half has not been told about our God, friend. Oh, and the half has never been related to God's people. What all God wants to do for us. I'm telling you, God wants us to have victory. God wants us to walk in happiness. God wants us to have joy. God wants us, my friend, to overcome sin. God wants us to overcome the flesh. And God wants to bestow His blessings upon us. There is sympathy in the heart of God. If we'll just look unto Him, there's sympathy to be found there. Amen. Now by the eye, I believe here, which Christ was so taken, may be meant the eye of faith. You're not going to get anything from Him apart from faith. Look unto me with the eye of faith, believing. Look unto me believing that I am able to perform that which I have committed unto thee. Oh, yes, sir. So many folks today want to look at God with a faithless glance, using some rhetoric or some expression they've heard some preacher say or heard some church member say that sounds good. But I'm going to tell you, God looks upon the heart. And my friend, she wasn't necessarily looking at Him with her physical eye, but she looked at Him out of the all-seeing eye in her heart. And I'm telling you, my friend, when God looks upon our heart, that is overwhelmed. That great God of glory that loved us and gave Himself for us, His heart becomes ravished with us, my friend. And God will be a sympathizer. God will pour out the balm of Gilead. God is a great physician this morning. God can heal your wounds this morning. God can stitch up your wounds and scars. And God can heal your broken hearts today. When will God's people ever learn? Honey, if God that made your heart cannot overwhelm your heart, oh yes, and bind up the wounds of your heart, then pray God. Oh, almost kicked it, Brother Ricky. Pray God, tell me who can. Huh? That's right. That's right. Say that again, Jerome. Amen to the Lamb. Amen to the Lamb. I like it. Amen. They used to sing a song. I don't know if you ever sang it or not, but the last few words of it is sympathizing Jesus. They sang it at Bible Baptist a lot. Oh, sympathizing Jesus. Look to Him through the eye of faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, my friend, I hate to sound imposing. I know I'm on holy ground, but I'm telling you, He can't hardly turn you down. Amen. It is by faith that mountains are moved. It's by faith, my friend, that families and homes and lives are put back together. It's by faith that our children are saved. It's by grace that our loved ones are brought into the kingdom. I'm here to tell you, look to Him through an eye of faith. And that faith, my friend, will ravish the heart of Almighty God. I've got to hurry. The eye by which the soul looks on Him and loves Him. That's right. He can't. And I'm just saying this as reverently as I know how. But my friend, He cannot turn down or resist our love. Amen. Let me ask you something, man, and I said this a while ago. Could you resist your spouse that looked upon you with eyes of love, and you knew by the look in her eyes that there was a pain there and a hurt there my friend, that nobody in all the world could do anything with but you? I'm telling you, there's pains in the heart, and there's agonies of the soul, my friend, that there's not another creature in all this universe that has the power, my friend, to do anything with. But God Almighty, oh yes, sir.
I know I'm telling it right, and I guarantee you he will if you will let him. I wouldn't, Mrs. Hall. She looked into my face and I saw pain, sorrow, grief. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I'd want to enter into that grief and that sorrow. I'd want to be able to do something to relieve her. We live most of our life carrying a load of grief and sorrow, sometimes even bitterness. My friend, that nobody else in the world can take away. But I'm telling you, there's a sympathizer to right hand of God that's able to take away your sorrow and grief. Why you want to carry that stinking load around for? Back your old dump truck up to Jesus, honey. Pull that little lever and pull out from under it and let her go. Cast all your care upon Him. Why, preacher? Because He cares for you. Amen to God. Hallelujah. Sympathizing Jesus. Oh, sympathizing Jesus. Was it not sympathy when He hanged on the cross and saw that disciple whom He loved and his mother decide and looked at that man and said, "Hey, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." Amen. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, that's sympathy. Was it not sympathy when he walked into the streets of Cain, my friend? Amen. And the follow, that little old woman was a following that coffin down the street of her only son. Was it not sympathy when Jesus reached into that coffin and touched that only boy and caused him to sit up in that thing and begin to talk? I want to ask you, was it not sympathy, my friend, when he met old blind Bartimaeus along the roadside of begging? Oh, nothing but old tattered garments. But God took his old tattered garments, took away his blinded eyes, gave him sight in the robe of righteousness. God gave sympathy to that old boy that day. Was it not sympathy that gave virtue to that little old woman that crawled along on her belly just to touch the hem of his garment? She got real low, friend. Real humble and just touched him. Virtue went out of him, and I'm telling you, Jesus stood still. Those old 10 lepers that stood afar off, was it not sympathy that reached out and touched a leper, which was against the law, contrary to the law, and touched a leper and cleansed all 10 of them? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Only one of the sorry rascals came back to give praise to God. Let me ask you, what in God's name's wrong with this church this morning? But son, you were a leper, filthy, ungodly. You had an issue, my friend, running from your corrupt, nasty body and soul. And he that's full of sympathy and love passed by your way and contrary to the law reached out and touched you, my friend, and healed you of all your diseases. I wonder why all of you haven't come back to give him praise. I'm going to kick that Mexico can one of these days. Huh? Sympathy, friend. If you be the Son of God, come down and save yourself. And us with you, then we'll believe. Man, what's your problem? If you realize we're in the same condemnation that he is, and he a just man, we deserve all that we're getting. Lord, when thou have mercy on me, when thou comest into thy kingdom. Today, Christ said, wasn't that sympathy? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm telling you, friend, that floods my soul with the joy bells of heaven. When I consider the great truth that today I might be with Him in paradise. Just one heartbeat from heaven, my friend. Oh, maybe just seconds from the pearly gates. What sympathy God has poured out upon you and I. And I want to remind you that Jesus said that thou hast ravished my heart. My sister, my spouse, thou hast ravished my heart with a look from one eye and with just one chain around your neck.
If you look in chapter 1, you'll find out she had several chains around her neck. You know what that chain is? It's virtue that he's put there. Christian virtue. It's holiness. And all they said was just one of them. So all it takes is one little bit of grace. Just a little bit of grace from God. He said, son, I can put something on you with just a little bit of grace that Ajax can't take off. And every time I look on you and see that grace hanging around your neck. Woo! Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we owe it all to Jesus, son. Yes, sir. Just a little bit of grace around our neck. He's hung grace around our neck. Chains of grace. Chains of mercy. Love and peace. He's hanged around our neck. And brother, I'm telling you, with just one look from an eye, we can ravish the heart of the sympathizing son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Give me another drink, Lord. Amen. Good drink of the Holy Ghost. What Amen. Some of y'all need. Amen. Thing all too, Sue? I'm about loose enough. Ain't enough in it to hurt them. Hallelujah. Look here. The eye by which a soul looks on Him and loves Him, Amen. Beholds His fullness and wishes for interest in Him, looks to Him and expects from Him alone life and salvation. Can you get the picture? When He looked into that eye, I'm going to tell you what He saw. Helplessness! Whoa! Yeah. Oh, when He looked into that eye, it seemed to say, Lord, except Thou help me, I'll surely perish. For there's none but Thee, O God. Look unto me. Look unto me, said God, all ye the ends of the earth. And be saved and know that I'm God. I'm here to tell you, my friend, when He looked into those eyes, He saw helplessness. He saw a person that was void of power, void of strength, void of ability, unable to help themselves, and going to hell! Nobody could help her. But Him. When He looked into those eyes, she seemed to say, unless Thou help me, I'm surely doomed and damned for all eternity. Please help my sinful condition. Rescue my never-dying soul. Lift me from a horrible pit. Oh, set me in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, am I not to be pitied? My forefathers, those before me, those that had gone on before me, committed a great transgression. And by one man's sin, I am where I am. Oh, but by the obedience of one, I can be made righteous if Thou will only have sympathy on me. Oh, sympathizing bridegroom, have mercy on me today. Jesus said, just that look has ravished me. I see the tears streaming down His face. I can see the expression of love in His eyes. I can see the grace in His hand as He extends that golden hand of mercy, that golden scepter to that little old pitiful looking Shulamite that was destined for hell. Nobody could help her. Mama couldn't help her. Daddy couldn't help her. Oh, the law had tried and failed. There was no hope in the law. It was all just condemnation. It was all just condemnation and guilt and the wrath of God. And it could not help her. Oh, but it was that schoolmaster to bring her to Christ. And it was there when He extended that hand of mercy. My friend, that grace reached itself out of law. And it was grace, my friend, that saw her helpless and doomed and die. It was grace that lifted her up. Amen to God. Wow! Glory to God. It was grace, my friend.
That's why no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Bless His womb. Son, I feel like running my head through this piano up here today. Praise God. Ask and you shall receive. He saw in those eyes a need of deliverance. There she was in chains of darkness. Oh, in prisons. In prison serving life without parole. And at the end of life without parole, they're only awaiting awful execution of death in a lake of fire. And with that one eye, it's almost as if she may be drifting away from Him. Do you ever feel like that before? That you were drifting away from Jesus, the lover of your soul, and trying to look at the awful gulf of sin on this side and the grace of God on the other. And with one glance, my friend, of that lovely face of our heavenly bridegroom, blasted through the clouds of darkness, sin despondency and despair. And an unseen hand, my friend, came out of nowhere and lifted you out of your fallen condition. I'm telling you, He saw us in our helpless condition and had sympathy upon us. And by the grace of God, lifted we us out and made us what we are today. You've been delivered. Our God is able to deliver thee. He saw those eyes in need of deliverance. He saw her dependence upon Him for help. If you don't help me, there is none to help. And her desire for more discoveries of Him. She said, I know if Thou wilt help me, I'm only touching the hem of Your garment. And oh, what lies beyond deliverance. Have you ever looked beyond deliverance, my friend? Amen. At the glories of the Son of God. And saw Him to be the altogether lovely one, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. In whom is all the fountains of life. Oh, yes, her. So many folks today, they got their eyes on this world, and my friend, yes, sir, they're looking at this world for life and livelihood. I'm here to tell you the Son of God will give you both of them, young people, you listening to me. You wanting life and wanting to have a good life and livelihood. I'm talking about the buck. Oh, I look to Him. He said, I once was all young and now I'm old, but I've yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed of begging bread. I'm here to tell you there's more discoveries of God's grace yet beyond the pit that God brought you out of. I remember several years ago, I preached a message here entitled, Beyond the Pit. He lifted us out of that horrible pit and set our feet on a solid rock and established our goings. I'm going to tell you something, brother. When our goings got started, that was just the starting point. Oh, thank God for Calvary, but for more discoveries of His love and grace. She said, I do believe there's more beauties beyond. Beyond the cross to the throne room. About to fly right about now. I see the seraphim with outstretched wings over the mercy seat. The glory of God descending like a cloud into that place. The Shekinah of God. And a voice coming out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. Did you know, my friend, every time God spoke, the Holy Spirit said a word, they always pointed it back to Jesus. Amen. Woo! Amen. More discoveries of God's love. Stay with me. I won't be much longer now. He sees in her eye the look of a poor, sinful creature. Who will remain lost forever except He favor her. Amen. Thus His heart is ravished, taken by her. The response of Jesus to her look was sympathy provided. He looked into her eyes, saw the need. His heart was ravished.
I'm so thankful today, church, that we've got a sympathizer. Let me read these three verses. I'll bring the message and we're going to the house. Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Don't die now. Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them also that are tempted. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Illustrated by Psalm 45, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth and know that I am God. And there is none else. I'm here to tell you, lost man, lost woman today, if God don't show you mercy, you're going to fry in hell without Him for an eternity. And if you don't look, you'll never find it. Somebody said, you're just an old red-faced preacher clobbering at the mouth. I might be. I'm going to tell you something, child. Let me light a fire under your butt today and see how long it takes you to move out from an under it. I know what you think. Oh, we're going to have our fun in this world. I don't need God's sympathy. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said too, and God made him to grow fingernails like the wild beast, and his hair got long. God put him out in the field eating grass for him with the beast. You want to act like a brute beast? God will treat you like a brute beast. I'm going to tell you what I'd like to do. I'm honest. I'd like to take some of these young horses that think they're tough. I'd like to take them for about 3 weeks in some of the places I was in Vietnam and let them crawl around. I'd find, just see how real tough they are. It's something to be tough when it don't mean business, but buddy, when somebody on the other end means business, it's a little different story. Well, I've been through the infiltration course in the Army. Man, I'm tough. Now they're shooting about 20 feet over your head, you could have done jumping jacks and there wouldn't have been no danger of getting shot. I stopped into the Republican headquarters this week, and I'll get back to message in. I'm running rabbit right now. Stopped into the Republican headquarters up there this week, and the fellow's in there, and I got talking to him. He got talking about going to school, Texas A&M, being an engineer, and said in Vietnam, he said, I served two tours in Vietnam, said an airplane in the Air Force. And I said, Air Force, then when was you over? And he said, 1966. I said, you do any bombing in the Idrang Valley? He said, son, dropped all kind of 500-pounders in the Idrang Valley. I said, sir, I want to thank your hand. Thank you. I said, shake your hand. I remember the day I was laying there in an anthill and red ash crawling over me and them 500-pounders dropping around, shaking the ground. I sure was glad to see a 500-pound bomb. Are you listening? I like to see some of you tough boys get in and see how tough you are. Amen. What you say there and pee down your leg. Right. Right. I won't charge you nothing for that. Right. Amen. Let me get back to my message now or go on meddling. Amen. I've got four thoughts I've already preached them, but I won't say them. And we're going home. Let me see what time it is. About 12:30. I want to say, number one, He sympathizes with us when we were lost. Brought you off that bar stool, didn't He, Brother Andy? What He said in the book of Luke, and my, we've used it so many times. He spake a parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave his 99 in the wilderness? And I asked Miss Hall last night, I said, you're a spiritual woman. Why were the sheep in the wilderness? I've never seen it before that way. He left them in the wilderness. That's pretty bad place to be leaving your sheep. But He left the 99 in the wilderness to go after that which is lost until He find it. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I'm glad that he had sympathy on us when we were lost. And by the way, he sought us. He said he goes after that one. Just after that one. Aren't you glad he sought you, my friend, when you were a stranger, lost and on your way to hell, and yet he left the 99 in the wilderness just to find that one little ewe lamb that was lost without God? Brother Ricky, he left them in the wilderness that night. He found you over there in that corner. Brother Andy, he left them in the wilderness that night. He pulled you off of that bar stool.
That's right. Amen.
Shelby, he left them in the wilderness that morning when he come and found you sitting up there by that altar. And it always amazes me that he's got the location pinpointed. He's got fine radar, boys. He knows right where you are. He found you on that bridge. He found you in that bedroom. He found you in that mine. He found you in that bedroom. He found you at that altar. He found you in that Sunday school room. Lisa, he found your head ducked up and under that pew you're sitting on.
Amen.
He come to where you were.
Amen.
He left the 99 to go after that one little old sheep that was in the wilderness. I'm glad, thank God, that he sought me when I was a stranger. I want to say, not only he sought us, but he rescued us. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Rescued us. Hallelujah to God. Can you imagine the perils? Can you see him this morning? Now listen carefully. He's seeking us out through the cold of the night, through the rain, the wind, and the snow, in the high mountain areas and down in the lowest valleys. He continues to seek us, and his locks are white. His locks are wet with the dew of the night. He's been out seeking that little old lost sheep. He wants to find somebody here this morning. I told this story a while back. I'll tell it again. That is a military general. And I forget who it was, but I read it, I think, from Spurgeon. That is a military general. And said in his exploits, he came upon this shepherd out on the hills, and the shepherd was just panic-stricken. The mad general asked him, said, what's your problem? What is wrong? And he said, I've lost one of my sheep, sir. I cannot find one of my sheep. He said, don't have no fear. Me and my men will hunt all through the night, if necessary, and find that little sheep. They hunt way up into the middle of the night, and snow began to fall, and the men gave up. They just gave up hope on finding that little sheep and returned back to where the camp was set up and got in their tents and tried to get themselves warm around the fire. And somebody noticed that the general was still out. But his aide, they all went to sleep, and his aide woke up early the next morning and run to the general's tent and said the general always got up a great while before day. And said they went to the general's tent and opened the door, and they couldn't understand it, for the general was still laying in his tent fast asleep. Said his aide, ashamed to wake the general, went back and come back a little while later and looked, and he's still laying there asleep. Said the aide went away and come back the third time, found the general asleep again, and in haste he said, sir, I hate to disturb you, but it's time for reveille, and you've overslept this morning, and the other men are already up, and this is unusual. You're still in the bed asleep. And said the general looked up with eyes as red as they could be, and his face drawn from being was tired and worn out, and his body was stricken with pain. And said he looked up into the face of that aide and said, sir, said while you were asleep, and I've sought all night long for that one little ewe lamb that went astray, and said, look what I found. And he pulled the covers back, and there lay a little lamb. That little lamb said, I'm here to tell God. Are you listening to me this morning, my friend? While everybody else lay in their beds fast asleep, while everybody else had given up on you, I'm glad the great shepherd of the sheep, my friend, went the extra mile of the way through the storm, the wind, in the rain, to find that little lost sheep that was lost and rescued our soul.
Amen.
from death. Blessed be His wonderful name. Hallelujah to God. He's looking for somebody in here this morning. Not only did He seek us and rescued us, but He, in sympathy, He bears our weaknesses. He layeth it on His shoulders. Somebody said, I'll walk. I'm going to show, and I cannot explain to you what I want to say. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. We don't do nothing without Him. We're not walking. Oh, He tells us to walk uprightly, but I'm going to tell you, you can't. He tells us to be holy, but you can't. You can't be holy. He tells you to love sinners, but you can't. I'm telling you, He laid you on His shoulders. Everything that we are to accomplish in the eyes of God, Jesus has accomplished it already for us.
Amen.
Now, you will think on that and get a hold of it, my friend. If He hadn't up, we'd sure, oh, somebody said, are we just supposed to quit and give up? Oh, no. No, sir, buddy. You just give up and say, you're a lost man. We're to strive. We're to labor. We're to walk. We're to do all that we can. But I'm here to tell you, you will never get good enough to get in. You can work till you're blue in the face, do all, and you will never satisfy God. You can't satisfy God. I want to run it by you again. You cannot satisfy God. But with us on His shoulders, what can the Father say when the Son gets home and says, Father, here they are. I've got them right here now. Father, bled by me, Jesus said. You will not get there. I'm going to tell you, the Father's not going to reject the Son when He walks in and we're laying on that shoulder. Here. What do you have, my son, my only begotten, full of grace and truth? Just a little old lamb I found. And where'd you find him at? He was trapped in the clefts, in the rocks, in the jagged places, in a deep pit. And I extended my shepherd's rod of sympathy into the pit, hooked it very gently in the heart. And lifted him out. Oh, but my son, don't you know he's a sinful creature? Oh, but Father! He's under the blood. I won't, honestly, Philip, I won't throw you through the wall, but I'm going to say something right now. You puke on me, buddy, you're in trouble. He's sympathizing. I'll try to hurry. I got carried away there a while ago and got in on my preaching time with that rabbit track. I should have left it alone. Always do that sometimes. Sympathize us when we're lost. I want to say He sympathizes with us over. He sympathizes with us over our vexed loved ones. Listen to me now. Don't nobody leave me. This is probably the most important point I'll make all morning. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously... My daughter! My child! My baby!
Amen.
My baby is grievously vexed with the devil! Now, I want to show you the compassion of the disciples. Here we are. But He answered and said, He answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Real sympathy, ain't it? Jesus! Have mercy on me. Why? What do you want, you Gentile dog? What can I do for a bunch of Gentile dogs? My daughter, my baby, that which I went into the jaws of hell and death for,
Amen.
Is grievously vexed with the devil.
I'm telling you, that little girl, my friend, was wrapped up in the jaws of sin. The devil had his teeth into that kid, buddy. She was possessed with a devil. This baby belonged to that woman. And the only help that baby had was the same help Mama had, named Jesus, friend. I'm here to tell you there is sympathy to be had for your children this morning. Somebody said, oh, preacher, they've done gone the way of sin, the way of the world. Oh, but I'm telling you, the great shepherd of the sheep can go out into the world, my friend. If he finds sympathy, you'll find sympathy will go out into the world and find that child. Hallelujah to God. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped, saying, Lord, help me. When was the last time for that baby of yours that's in sin, that child that's rebellious, my friend, did you go to the Lord? And in spite of a religious crowd around you and what they may think of you, you went to the Lord and said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. What can I do for you? It's my daughter. And she's grievously vexed by the devil while she listens to rock and roll music and she smokes dope and she cusses and she's running with the wrong crowd and she's cussed her father and me and she has nothing to say good about the church and all she wants to do now is cuss the church and the man of God. And I, what can I do? You can help me, Lord. You can help me. It's what you can do. And only my But he answered and said unto him, is not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Now here's the eye of faith that looked at him. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith.
Amen.
Great is thy faith. There's your sympathizing Jesus, friend. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Whatever you want, I'll do it for you. Whatever you want, I'll do it for you. How can that be? Because he was ravished. His heart was ravished with the look of her eye. That's how, friend. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She was grievously vexed. The disciples showed no sympathy. He listened to her prayer. He looked at her faith, and her daughter was made whole. Just that simple. Amen. Number three, and I'm hurrying through these now. He sympathizes with us in our loneliness. I want everybody to listen to this. Listen now. How lonely are you? And I'll be honest with you. There's a couple people in here that I feel like may lead some lives that are not quite like the rest of us. Think about Ruth sitting back there. Brother Jerome. They really ain't got a whole lot of family that can sit down and just do a whole lot of fellowshipping with, talking about God.
Amen.
Brother Andy there spends a lot of lonely hours on the highway in a truck, but when he comes in, he's got a wife and a daughter. Brother Jerry comes into an empty house. Miss Ruth goes to a little old apartment up yonder behind Billy Wicks, Billy and Sandy's house. I'm here to tell you, friend, God will sympathize with you in your loneliness.
Amen.
John chapter number 9, there was a fellow blind. Jesus spit on the ground and made clay out of the spittle and anointed his eyes. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went and washed and come seeing. And when he went home, his friends said, some of them said, man, that's that guy that was blind. And others said, oh, that's not him. But he said, I am he. They didn't know what to do with him, so they took him to the Pharisees and said, this man was blind, and now he sees. What are we going to do with him? He said, well, I don't know. We'll ask his parents. His parents said, is this your... He asked the parents, said, is this your son? The Pharisees said, is this your son? He said, yes, our son. Well, was he born blind? He was born blind. Well, how does he see? Lord, I don't know. And here's what they said. He's of age. Don't ask us a thing about him. He's of age. Ask him. They said, well, what about it? He said, yeah, I was blind, sitting down there, and said, a man named Jesus come down and made a clay out of spittle, told me to anoint my eyes, told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, said, I didn't come see him.
Amen.
Then he began to talk to them, and he said, will you also become his disciple? They said, you're altogether born in sin. You're going to teach us the Word of God?
Yeah, that's right.
And here's what they done. They cast him out.
Amen.
And you know who was right there the minute he got cast out? Jesus. Let me read it for you. I'm trying to find it. Bear with me. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him. Do you know how lonely he was in this life? Do you know how he can sympathize with you in your loneliness, because he was lonely in this life too? I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not making this a joke or looking for your sympathy. But I look way down the road in my mind sometimes, and I wonder what it's going to be like with me if the Lord tarries 10 years and what I'm going to be. And I said, Lord, I'm telling you, that nursing home don't look good. But I'm going to tell you, if I have to go, I know somebody that will go with me. Because they said he'd go with me all the way. I may sit in a wheelchair with slobbers drooling out of my mouth and look like a wild man. But hallelujah to God, I've got a Lord that'll be sitting there with me.
Amen.
Till this body expires and the spirit is gone back to be with God.
Amen.
Yes, sir, because He's a sympathizer in our loneliness.
Amen.
Now get this now, and I'm going to just run this by you. The reprobate friends did not want Him. They took Him to the Pharisees. His relatives did not want him. His parents said, ask him. They were afraid they'd get thrown out of their little religious institution.
Amen.
This guy, you know what they said? This moron has got too much religion for us.
Yeah.
Right. We don't mind you having a little religion, but don't go overboard with it. So. The religious crowd didn't want him. The Pharisees, they cast him out. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. He said, the father of the fatherless and the judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. He says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now I want to close with this. And I'm done, if you'll just bear with me. I want to say, lastly, He sympathizes with us in our learning. See, there's some of you in here think you ought to already know everything there is to know about the Bible. Do you know in John chapter 14, the Lord had been with His disciples almost 3.5 years. And He said, no man can come to the Father apart from me. And He said to Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Something he hadn't learned yet. And the Lord said, Philip, have I been with you this long? And you don't know me. He didn't say, bless God, boy, you're about a dumbbell. How stupid can you get? He said, have I been with you that long, Philip? And you still don't know me. He said, Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Believe, Philip, that I'm in the Father and the Father is me. Or else believe for the work's sake, Philip, that I and the Father are one. Then he went into that great discourse concerning the Holy Spirit that covers almost 2 chapters. Are you listening? He is a sympathizer to the lost. He is a sympathizer to your loved ones that are vexed. He is a sympathizer to the lonely and brokenhearted. He is a sympathizer
to us in our learning of His word. Take my yoke upon you, said learn me. Now look here, you're going to have to look to Him with an eye of faith. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with a look from one of thine eyes and from one chain about thy neck. Let's stand together.